Hey, Dr. Borton.
Megan, how are you?
I'm doing well. I'm curious about your life, and you started as a physics professor, but then what happened in terms of the solar energy, and how did you get involved in making solar boats when you were a physics professor?
Well, after I got my PhD in physics, I was doing what's called a postdoc, and I was doing that in chemistry. And at the time, I could not buy gasoline. This was for a short period that there was the oil crisis, and I could not buy gasoline. And at the time, I looked around at all the sources of energy that are available to this planet, and there's only one that makes sense, and that's solar energy. And so I got into solar energy and stayed in solar energy ever since.
Was your postdoctoral research on energy systems at all?
Well, it was really on things like how do you ameliorate oil spills in the ocean? Because a lot of oil was being spilled into the ocean, still is. And the question, one question is, how can you reduce the amount of oil that gets into the ocean, and how can you clean it up once it gets in the ocean? What I was doing research on was different chemicals you could put either in the oil or in the water to make it so it would be easier to separate the oil and water and clean up the oil.
What did you find? Was there a chemical that you could just kind of shoot into the water and it would make cleanup easy?
The simple answer to that is no. The easiest thing really is to not let the oil into the ocean or the environment in the first place.
Yeah.
So one thing is double-hulled boats, so that there's two hulls. There's an outer hull, and then the oil is in a tank in the inner hull. And so that you don't have to punch one hole in the boat to get an oil leak, you'd have to punch two holes. And so that's one of the easy ways to help contain the oil.
You know, I've been wanting to do a photography project for a long time, and I always see in different states and in different progress and location the oil tankers that some people call the bomb trains. And, you know, those bomb trains were famously parked near, housing projects in Albany. So I've always wanted to do a photographic study of these trains just sitting on 787 or below that bridge on 155. And just to figure out, what are other people thinking when they see these tankers just rolling in? You know, it just seems like such a stark visual statement of our civilization and how much oil we consume.
That's true. And let's just put a tax on all that oil. And if we put a tax on and increase the tax regularly, then we'll start using less and less, and we'll start using more and more renewable energy.
Well, do you know of people who took up your idea and made double-hulled boats to,
Oh, yeah.
try to, it's not really fixing a problem, it's more anticipating a problem.
Yes, I believe that's the law in many places that you have to have a double-hulled container.
Oh,
And in
really?
fact, many gas stations have had to dig up their tanks underground and put double-wall tanks underground at gasoline stations. So you don't get one hole and a leak and it gets into the ground. You have to have two. And that's really a very good thing. Don't spill it in the first place.
Yes. And, we always have to hear again these stories like off the coast of Alaska, the Valdez oil spill. Do you remember what happened with the BP oil spill? That was in 2010, right?
I don't remember the year, but the well head broke, and there was nothing to hold the oil back from coming out of the ground. It just kept coming and coming.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure there are studies being done of how all of those spills reverberate out in time. Getting back to you, so it sounds like both the oil spills and the shortage that happened in the 70s, you couldn't buy gas for a little while, that both of those things inspired you to be fusing your research with, this whole thinking about the world and energy. So then you became a physics professor, and did you keep talking about energy in the classroom?
Well, okay, becoming a physics professor, what happened was that I started doing solar energy research and solar concentrators. You've probably taken a magnifying glass and burned something with the sun. Well, that's...
No, I wasn't one of those little kids that killed ants. And oh, actually, though, yeah, there are interesting things you can do with, you know, what do they call it? Solar lighting.
Concentrate. Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, I did a bunch of research with that. And at the time, I wanted to live in a passive solar house because there's enough solar energy hitting a house to power the house. And even up here in New York, there's plenty of solar energy for that kind of thing. And so, long story short, my wife and I worked on that, and we have lived in a passive solar house since 1982.
Now, when your friends and family found out that you were building the passive solar house, is it correct to say that you and your wife built it?
Well, I would like to build it, you know, do the sticks and mortar and stuff. I planned to do that, but it turns out I didn't have enough time to do it, so we hired people to do that.
Now, was it considered an anomaly among your family and friends? Were you the only one of your family and friends really thinking and doing something specifically for solar energy? You know, like, did it seem weird to other people in your life that you were so concerned about doing the passive solar home?
Family, yes. They thought it was a little strange, but friends, the people I mostly call friends are people that think this is a good idea and do things like this. And so there are a bunch of people that do good passive solar design and live in good passive solar houses in the Northeast and in the Capital District. And there used to be that the solar houses were open for a solar tour in the fall, and the Solar Energy Society supported that. I haven't seen that happen lately. I don't know if it's still going on.
So then how was it really at that point that you moved into the passive solar house that you started again? I'm just trying to think about how you started to connect this to the classroom. Was it at that point that you were like, I live in a passive solar house, and there was this idea of merging your life as a scientist and professor with your life as someone interested in energy?
Well, actually, RPI approached me and said, would I teach a solar energy engineering class? And I said, sure. So that's how I got into that. It was really a lot of fun to talk about something that was very important and very few people were talking about at the time.
Do you still keep in contact with former students who changed the direction of their lives because of learning about energy systems and taking your solar energy engineering class?
A few, yes. I wish I could say it was all of them, but it's really only been a few of them that I keep in touch with and that are into renewable energy type things.
Cool. Well, last question. So then when did you make the bridge to actually starting to build solar boats?
Oh, well, I've been in boats all my life, and a cousin gave me an aluminum canoe, and I just thought that as a solar guy, I should try putting solar panels on it, and that worked very well, and that was the start.
Cool. Do you still have that canoe?
Yes, I do.
I bet it was pretty fast if it was aluminum, and then you put solar panels on it. I bet that thing... I'm picturing it flying on the Battenkill or something. Was it fast?
Well, fast is a relative term. Compared to how much I could paddle it by myself for day after day after day, the sun does it much better than I can do it.
That's why I like solar energy. It's helps us along, and it's quiet. It's neat and quiet.
Yeah, and from that aluminum boat, I went to another aluminum boat, and then the 25-foot wooden boat, and total of 5 wooden solar electric boats, and now I'm looking to make them out of fiberglass, so they'll be much less expensive to make so that I can get more of them out into the world.
Well, sign me up for one, for sure. Do you have any final comments, Dr. Borton?
Well, you could help make them.
Sure, I would totally love to do that. I just want to name mine something poetic and romantic. Like the Colleen or something.
Okay, it'll be fun when that happens.
Thanks, Dr. Wharton.
Thank you, Megan.